Good morning.
Ke a le dumedisa bohle.
Is everybody alive?
Na le ntse re phela kaofela.
If you're dead, raise a hand.
Jale haiba o shile mo teng, phamisa letsola ha go bone lo wena.
Jesus is still raising the dead. We'll start with you.
Go bane jale mogana Jesu ntse a tsosa ba shileng.
It's a privilege to be with you this week. Most of my ministry for 34 years goes to Europe, United Kingdom, North America.
And
but I've been to the continent of Africa, I think, about 40 times. Africa, and especially South Africa, has played a significant role in what God has given me over the years. And so it's a privilege to be here in South Africa. And I want to thank Steve and Ray for the privilege of being with you all again. And throughout this message, I'm going to try to relate some things about this season that we're coming into. And Steve, it's significant and important for me personally to be here this week with you. Our ministry had been going on for about 12 years internationally. And then in May of 1992, we moved to Toronto. And that first week, I spoke at a prophetic conference. And the Lord gave me an open vision of heaven like a waterfall coming over Toronto. And the Lord said that in late 1993 or 94, early
94,
he was going to begin a move of the Holy Spirit in Toronto. That was going to go to the nations.
A year
and a half went by. And then to our little church of maybe 250 people, a move of the Spirit came. And they say that over 5 years, the next 5 years, over 5 million people came to our church. And ministries like Steve's were impacted all over the world. And that momentum that you're part of is still going on. It's impacted ministries all over the world. But last summer, the Lord, your winter time, last winter for you, the Lord began to speak to me that it's a whole new season coming now. 22 years have gone by. And that momentum will continue. But there is something significant changing now in the body of Christ. And I won't talk about this word this morning. But the Lord said it was time for the church of the East and the West to meet together. That the radical freedom for evangelism in China and Asia were going to begin to come to the Western world nations. And ministry is going to not only become easier, but the challenges are going to get bigger. The challenges are going to get bigger, but it's going to get easier. Try not to look so excited. The best way I can explain this change that's coming is Ray asked me to share about a miracle that happened a few years ago. It actually happened 5 years ago in Norway. But I didn't find out about this miracle till 6 months ago when I was back in Norway. In this meeting I was in 5 years ago in Norway, I was praying for the sick on Sunday night. They brought a man from the church. He had about 2 weeks to live. He had three types of cancer. He had cancer of the blood, cancer of the liver, and cancer in his bones. He had maybe 2 weeks to live. They almost carried him up front to me. And they said he's dying of cancer. So I prayed for him. I didn't know what type of cancer he had. But I said, Lord, would you release your fire? Burn away the cancer. Even burn his bones completely clean. Two nights later, he was laying in his house in incredible pain. And all of a sudden, the glory of God came into his room. The Shekinah, the Shekinah glory of God, the heaviness of God's presence. He was completely overwhelmed by the glory of God. He was lost in the presence of the Lord. And when this heaviness of the Lord lifted, he noticed all of his pain was gone. When he woke up the next morning, all of his weakness was gone. He went to the hospital. They were shocked at how healthy he looked. They did blood tests. They did every test they could think of. They tested his liver. They said, we can't understand what's happened to you. But you have no cancer. And when I was back in this church 6 months ago, that man testified. Now that's a great miracle. What's important is how God did the miracle. We have been focused on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the hand of God at work. There could be an anointing for evangelism, an anointing for prophecy, an anointing for miracles. But I want to tell you, there's something greater than the anointing. We need the anointing. We can't minister without the anointing. But Moses prayed for more than the anointing. He said, Lord, I want to see your face. And when we begin to pray, to gaze upon the face of the Lord, we're no longer focused on the hand of the Lord. We're focused on the beauty of who God is. And I want to tell you something. When we do not look just for the power of God, when we don't look just for the hand of God, but you look for the face of His glory, you not only get His face, but you get both of His arms as well. Because where His glory is, everything else is there. And we are coming into a season where we're going after giants. But we're going to learn on a deeper level. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's by the presence of the Lord. Are you still alive? If you've got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 17. Turn to Genesis 17. I want to talk about going from the blessings we know
to the
glory that's to come. I want to talk about the promises that are at hand. Abram and Sarah had lived for decades.
Abraham le Sarah ba ne se ba phetse dilemo tse ka bantse le kgolo.
With an amazing promise over them.
Me ba phetse ka thepiso e kgolo ya Modimo.
That their descendants were going to populate the nations.
Hore ba ga le ba ga di ba bona ka po ditlolo tsa bona ditlatlala le fatshe lohle eo ene le thepiso.
But yet now Abram is almost 100.
Jwale Abraham o ne sa le dilemo tse ka bang le kgolo ka
nako ena. Sarah is 90.
Me Sarah ka bo yena di lemo tse ka ba 90.
They've had no children between them.
Me ho fitlela nako eo ne ba sobele ngwana ho hang.
And now physically it appears that it's impossible.
Jwale ho ya ka tlholeho ne ba se ba kekeng ba e ba le ngwana ho hang.
Let me say something to you.
Ke ke bolela taba ena ho lona.
When it feels like God has demoted you.
Jwale nako eo o ikutlwelang e ka ka re Modimo o ne nne o sile o lefela.
When it feels like the promises He's given you are impossible, He's preparing you for promotion. God has allowed many of you to come to the end of your own strengths. And you're even looking at the supernatural anointing that God has given you. And you're feeling like you're coming up short. I want to say to you, you're at a wonderful place. Because we're about to learn on a much deeper level. It's not so much about us, it's about the glory of the Almighty. And the Lord appeared to Abram when he was 99. And he said, I am God Almighty. Now, in the Hebrew, he said, I am El Shaddai. And we translate El Shaddai as God Almighty. But actually it means more than that that we're going to talk about. Do you know that names are very important? Names are very important. The names of God are very important. When Peter and John healed the lame man outside the temple, it created a riot in Jerusalem. Because everybody knew about this lame man. And they went running to Peter and John. And they were looking at them like they were gods. But Peter and John said this. This man was not healed because of our spirituality. He was healed because of faith in the name. In the name. In the name of Yeshua. There is authority in the names of God. And in this name, Yeshua, it is the only name under heaven and earth by which salvation comes. It is the name given to us by the Father that we have access to the very throne of God. The names of God are very important. But I want to say something else to you. Your name is very important. Do you know that Paul said in Ephesus, to the church of Ephesus, he said, every family on heaven and earth derives its name from God. One of the other names of God in the Hebrew is El Elyon. And El Elyon, Most High God, it means God of the details. Do you know that before the foundation of this earth was laid, God purposed that you would be alive at such a time as this? And he's given you a name. In fact, in a few moments, we're going to look in the book of Revelation where Jesus says, you have a name that you don't even know about yet. And that name has to do with the purposes, the calling, the destiny of your life. By the time I was about 40 years old, I'd been to nations all over the world ministering. And then I found out something that really shook me. I'd never known this before. But my name, Mark DuPont. In English, Mark means a builder.
puong ya sekgowa lebitso lena mareka le bolela gore ya ahang kapo se
but in French DuPont means the bridge
impa jwale ka sefora DuPont ka bo yona e bolela borogo
and all of a sudden the light bulb went on
me ha ke tutata ba yo ya ba hona le ho ho ku huelellwa
and I realized God had named me
me ka elellwa go modimo o ngreile
to be a bridge builder to help churches grow closer to the glory of God. You have a name that you don't even know about right now. And so God said to Abraham, he said, I am El Shaddai. And he said, I will make my covenant between you and I will multiply you greatly. I want to say to you, it is so exciting for me to have been there the last couple of days of prayer. As you charted the history of this group of churches, I minister in many different denominations and networks around the world. I've spoken in many pastors' conferences. And I heard Steve say this a couple of times. That you're just a small network. But how many of you know Jesus came to a very small place in Bethlehem? That God does amazing things with very small places. And in the last 2 days of prayer, as you've given your testimonies and filled this in, I said to myself, I need to be here to hear this story. Because even as Steve shared that he was impacted by something that began 22 years ago on the other side of the earth. It is a new season. And if there's one word that defines this new season, it is multiplication. Multiplication. No longer are you going to say, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You're going to say 2 times 2 equals 44. Because God is multiplying you to have an amazing impact on the nations. On the nations. I am so thrilled to be here this week with you. It's important for me personally. And I believe, Steve and Ray, that this movement, you are in a covenant relationship for the nations. This is your God-given destiny as a movement. To impact the nations. Turn to the person next to you. And say, I know it's difficult. But try not to look so excited. Do you know that if I just said the words I said in some conferences, they'd be throwing hats and babies up in the air. But you're looking at me like a fish that's been brought from deep in the water up to the air.
Jwale empa jwale ke bona lenta di mejolo ka ditlhapi tse tatang go tshwasa botibong ba metsi jwale di ntsheswa ka ntle.
Your eyes are like this.
Jwale mahlalo na ntshebile ka go makala.
But I'm just going to assume those are eyes of faith.
Empa jwale ke tla kgetha gore ke dumela gore taba yeo ka bo yona ke le tshola tumelo.
So God gives Abraham a new revelation of himself.
I am El
Shaddai. God Almighty. But then he changes Abram's name. And he says in verse 5, no longer shall your name be called
Abram,
but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you to be a father of a multitude of nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Now, at this moment, Abraham.
Yes. Yeah, good.
I don't know your language, but I caught that.
Yes.
Years ago, I used to do a lot of preaching in Nigeria. Now, I come from California. I'm very relaxed. And in Nigeria, when they preach, they just preach with their whole body. And I used to love to go to Nigeria. Because I would just stand there like this. But my translators, they'll be going like this. And I'd be saying, it's wonderful. Because I can relax and they're doing all the work. It was great. So Abram, he was already very, very, very successful. He was very wealthy, highly respected, had a large following, had his own private army, and his name was Abram, which means exalted father. He was an exalted father. That was a term of respect and honor in the culture. But God gave him a new name. And that name was Abraham. Which goes from mean exalted father to a father of multitudes. And what that meant for Abraham, he had to change his thinking. He had to realize, this is not about me being exalted, but this is about the fruit to the nations. And I would like to suggest to you that we are on a journey of learning to not so much focus on our ministries, to not so much focus on our anointings, but to focus on the glory of the Lord. And just like that man in Norway, he did not get healed the moment I laid hands on him. But he got healed when the glory of the Lord came upon him. But I want to say something to you a little bit more about this name, El Shaddai.
Empa ke batla ho bua haholonyana ka lebitso lena El Shaddai.
We translate it in the Bibles.
Jale gele toloka bibeleng ka phole hlalosa.
As God Almighty. But in the root Hebrew, it means something deeper than that. The word shad in the Hebrew. It means breast. Even like a woman's breast. And the real meaning of El Shaddai is the breasted one. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Abraham is 99 years old. He's been a grown man for 80 years. He has not been an infant for, 88
years.
But God is giving him a revelation of God himself as the breasted one. Between a mother and a nursing baby, there is a very unique relationship. Because an infant cannot eat normal food. Their nutrition is that they need is very specific as an infant. And the only place they can possibly get that nutrition is from the mother's breast. There's no other substitute for this. So what was God saying to
Abraham?
When he was calling him to go from one level of success to multiplication of the nations. He was saying,
Abraham,
if you're going to enter into the destiny I have for you, you're
going
to have to learn on a deeper level to be completely dependent upon me. Completely dependent upon me. I have been involved in international ministry now for 34 years. We've seen God do many miracles. I've been a part of 5 revivals internationally. But last year, God began to speak to me out of Genesis 17. And he made clear to me, if I was going to really come into the destiny he created me for, I could not lean on my past experiences. I couldn't trust in what I already knew to take me into the future. But I needed a deeper revelation of God Almighty. And I
want to
challenge you that God is calling you as he's calling me to go deeper into prayer than we've ever been. Because we're going to need to learn to receive from God in the secret place. Even this morning, When I got here, I saw a mother nursing a baby. And she pulled a blanket over her and the baby. That baby was receiving in the secret place. We are called to preach, teach, disciple, heal, deliver. But to come into the multiplication God has for you. Where is Gareth, the lead pastor here?
I don't know.
I just want to say, Gareth, you need to build a bigger board. Because in a year or two, the multiplication is not going to fit on this board. But your key is not looking upon the anointing you've had in the past. But pressing in on the glory. And Abram had to begin to think differently about himself. This was humiliating. He could no longer think of himself as the exalted father. He needed to think of himself as an infant type of dependent upon God Almighty. Are you still alive? We know that Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the promised land. Two of those spies were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of their generation that entered into the promised land. But do you know that Joshua, that wasn't his original name? His original name was Hoshea. And it says that when Moses gathered the 12 men to send them out to spy out the land, it says in Numbers 13:17. It says that he gave the young man Hoshea a new name. He said, now you're going to be called Joshua. Why did he need a name change? Because the name Hoshea, it means the deliverer. We have many men and women in ministry. They're not focused on the glory of God. They're focused on their ministry. And they begin to think of themselves as the healer, the deliverer, the minister, the man or woman of God. But if Hoshea was going to become the future leader, that would lead 2.5 million people into the promised land. He could no longer think of himself as I'm the deliverer. He needed to think about himself as Joshua. And Joshua, what it means is Jehovah delivers. He could no longer think about himself as I'm the man of God. But he needed to lose himself in the revelation that it's Jehovah who delivers. In John chapter
1,
it says in verses 41 and 42, when Peter first met Jesus, he's brought to Jesus by his brother. And before Peter can even say a word, Jesus speaks to him. He prophesies over him. Jesus looked at him. And he said these words. Right now, your name is Simon. But you shall be called Cephas. Peter. That means the rock we heard about. That's what the Lord builds his church on last
night.
But he needed a name change. Outwardly,
Simon,
he looked like this man. He looked like you. Simon was a fisherman. He looked strong. He looked tough. But inwardly, Simon, his life was gripped by a fear of man. How do we know this? Because even after walking with Jesus for 3 years, out of fear of man, Simon denied Jesus 3 times in 1 night. Outwardly, he looked strong. Inwardly, he was controlled by a fear of man. And the word Simon, it means weak. One easily bent. One easily broken. When Jesus saw Peter, he knew that in 3 years, after living with Jesus for 3 years, he knew Peter would deny him 3 times in 1 night. But Jesus looked past that. He saw
Simon
in the revelation of the Father's chosen destiny for him. And he said, even though right now you're weak and gripped by a fear of man, I have a new name for you. And that name, Cephas. Peter. It means rock. Because he was prophesying over Peter. That even right now you're a weak man. When I am done with you, you are going to resemble me. Because Jesus is the rock of salvation. Many places I go, we do prophetic conferences. And sometimes people come up to me. And they say, Mark, do you have a prophetic word for me? I love that question. Because sometimes God does give me a word for people. And sometimes he doesn't. But even when he doesn't, I can say yes. I have a word for you. And they say, oh, what's the word? And I say, Romans 8:29. And I say, what's Romans 8:29? And I say, God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. And I would like to say to you, we all have weaknesses. It was a brilliant message we heard last night. And as I thought about that message he preached, that God uses us in our weakness, I thought of what the Apostle Paul said. The man who shook the world. He said, if I'm going to boast, He said, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. That doesn't make any sense. Because when people boast, they boast about their strengths. But Paul said, no, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Because Paul knew this kingdom secret that we heard about last night, that where we are weak, when we lean into the Holy Spirit, God's power, His strength is made real in our lives. God did not choose Peter to be one of the great apostles because of Peter's great strength. That's not why He chooses us. He chooses us because we're sons and daughters. And God has a destiny for you and I as His sons and daughters. We are created to be the peacemakers, to take this power of the kingdom of God and see the nations transformed. The world today is in so much turmoil. Racial division. Economic problems. Hopelessness, addictions, wars and rumors of wars. But in the midst of all of this, a rock is emerging. A rock of peace. A rock of shelter. A rock of strength. A rock of stability. And just like Peter, God is taking us from our weaknesses to beginning to reflect the rock of our salvation. And He said, right now, you're a weak man. But when I'm done with you, you're going to be like me. You're going to be conformed to my image. And you are going to reflect me, the rock of salvation, to the world. There's in the United States, where I come from, football is different from what you call football. You see, we've had a revelation that God not only gave His feet, but He gave His hands as well. So we don't just kick the ball, we throw it. There's a true story about a man in Philadelphia about 30 years ago. He was 29 years old. He had never played professional football. But he was an incredible athlete. But his life was filled with problems. The job he had, he lost his job. And his wife was so frustrated with him. She left him. He came home to his apartment one day. His wife was gone. And all the furniture was gone. And she left a note for him. His name was Vince. Vince. And she wrote a note and she said,
Vince,
you are never going to amount to anything. You are never going to have a name. You are never going to make any money. So I'm leaving you. And he fell into despair. And he had no job, no future. And he would look at that note every day. And then something that had never happened before. The professional football team of his city. They did something they had never done before. They let anybody come and try out to make the team. Almost nobody made the team. Because all these men who tried out, they were too old, too slow, too fast. But this man, Vince, even though he had never played on a football team, and even though he was too old, he tried out for the team. He was 29 years old. At 29 years old, most professional football players, they're too old. They're no longer playing. But the coaches saw something amazing in him that nobody else saw. So they allowed him for many weeks to train to try to make the team. None of the professional players on the team liked him. Because he had never played on teams like they had. He wasn't one of the boys. And they called him the old man because he was too old. But he made the team. And in his very first football game, he made so many mistakes that he thought they're going to fire him by the second game. And there's a movie about this man. And at the beginning of the second game, he is in the locker room, putting on his helmet, his football helmet, and he pulls out this note that his wife had left with him. Because he looked at this note every day that said,
Vince,
you'll never make a name for yourself. You'll never be successful. You'll never make any money. And before he ran out in the field, he looked at it for about the 100th time. He looked at it. But then he tore it up.
He tore
it into little pieces. And he threw it to the ground. And that old man that none of the other team members liked. He was afraid he was going to be fired. He went out that game. And he made history. Within just a month, they made him one of the captains of the team. And for the next 3 years, he helped lead that team from the very bottom of the league into the championship. Here's the truth. He always had the potential. But his self-image was gripped by a lie. And I want to say this to you, that in the economy of God, in the destiny of God, in the calling of God, your past disappointments, your past failures do not determine your future. You may have a self-image right now that you look back at some of the mistakes you've made. You look back on maybe people who have disappointed you. Or you look at when you've disappointed people. But I want to say to you, God is not done yet. When you look at this world, God is not done yet. Because the Bible says the nations will be given to Jesus. And we are called to be part of this. You are called as a movement to help give the nations to Christ Jesus as his inheritance. Hello. The nations are going to be given to him by the Father as his reward, as his inheritance, and as a movement, you are called to be borders beyond what anything you've experienced. And like Abram, God desires to take you from the present success into the future glory. He desires to take you from a revelation of the anointing of God's hand to the glory of gazing upon his face. Because when we come into those deeper revelations of God, it changes who you are. And you find out that God has a new name for you. We sang about one of those names today. You are a more than conqueror. 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 So that raises a question. What in the world is a more than a conqueror? Isn't it enough to conquer? No, it's not. Because you see, as God gives you the grace and the wisdom to conquer the battles in your life, then you help other people conquer the battles in their lives. And so we go from victims to conquerors to more than conquerors. We go to orphans, those that are outside looking in, to the sons and daughters of the kingdom. Blessed are the sons of God, for they should be called the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. Do you know the very first words Jesus said to the disciples? When he appeared to them after the resurrection, the very first words he said was, "Peace to you." It's a peace that touches the soul, touches the spirit, touches the body, chases out cancer and disease. It breaks the power of corruption. It's not the peace of this world, it's the peace of the kingdom. He looked at them and said, "Peace to you." And then he said, "Again, I say peace to you." And he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Are you still alive? Could I have the worship band come back up?
Do you know one about the face of the Lord or the beauty of the Lord? Yeah, that's great. Would you all stand? Turn to the person next to you and say to them, "Excuse me." Now say to them, "Normally, when I'm experiencing the glory of God, I need more room than you're giving me right
now."
Let's spread out a little bit.
Thank you, Jesus.
This name, Jesus,
Yeshua.
Just begin to speak out that name. Just begin to sing out the name of Jesus. Just begin to sing out this name. Come on, lift up your voice. Begin to speak out the name of Jesus. Lift up that name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Worthy Lord.
Jesus.
Your name is like honey. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. And just close your eyes. Focus on the glory of the Lord. And we want to proclaim these words of Jesus to you. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, a rock of purity, with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. As we proclaim the name Yeshua, as we lose ourselves in El Shaddai, and we say, Father, we are completely dependent upon you. We do not look upon our past experiences to qualify us for the future. But Father, like a little babe, we say we are dependent upon you. Reveal yourself to us as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Breasted One. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. And you've given us Jesus. You've given us the name of Jesus, that we can boldly come before your throne. We have life and healing in that name. And we say, Lord, reveal to us the names you have for us. And I want to proclaim over this movement, I want to proclaim over borders beyond, you are more than conquerors. You are not only overcomers by the grace of God, but you are going to help many, many multitudes of people. You are going to help them conquer their battles. You are more than conquerors. And I don't know the names the Lord has for you. Only He knows that. But I say this in the name of Yeshua, you are more than conquerors for the nations. Thank you, Jesus. Just allow the Spirit of God to come upon you now. And would you pray out loud after us? Would you say, Father God, thank you for the history you've given me in Jesus. But I step into this new season. I will not rest on my past victories. I want to learn on a deeper level to be dependent on you. Would you make us as a movement? Would you multiply our fruit for the nations that they might be given to Christ as His inheritance? Just allow the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon you. I want to ask everybody to just stay very focused on the presence of the Lord. But if you are fighting any form of cancer, if you have any life-threatening disease, in this place of glory, would you quietly make your way to the front right now? If you have any life-threatening disease, any form of cancer, if you've been told you need an operation, would you come to the front right now?
Thank you, Lord.
Can I share something with you, personal? About 12 years ago, one night out in the bush in Malawi, I got two very poisonous spider bites in my right leg. The toxin went into my bones. And about 10 years ago, because of that toxin in my bones, I was diagnosed with a rare blood disease. I've been fighting that blood disease for 10 years now. Once a month, I go to a clinic. They check my blood. And they usually take a pint of blood, 500 milliliters of blood. In the past 10 years, I've given blood over 100 times. 2 weeks ago, after 10 years of treatment, after 10 years of prayer, and receiving prayer many times, when I went to the lab 2 weeks ago, for the first time in 10 years, my blood is in perfect condition. We are in a season of breakthrough. And the Lord is allowing my strength to be restored to me. Because it's time for the nations. It is a timing we're coming into. And some of the struggles some of you have had, like that football player, you need to take that note in your mind that says you're never going to break through. You're never going to be successful. And you need to tear that note up. You need to shred it. Because God has a different story for you. He has a different story for you. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, "You look different to me." Say to them, "You look like more than a conqueror." Now those, we're going to go back into worship. I'd like everybody to stretch hands to these men and women up front. And some of the leaders, would you join me? But here's what we're believing. It's not just our anointing that's going to heal them. It's the glory of the Lord. Let your glory come. Let your glory come now.
Lord.
Put a hand over your head. I proclaim the name of Jesus. Yeshua. God has become your salvation. I proclaim that over your thinking. As you think about your future. And as you think about who you are. I proclaim Yeshua over you. God himself has become your salvation. Tear up the old notes now. Tear up those old curses. Tear up those lies. You are free to run the race before you. The race for the nations. You are free because of Jesus. We proclaim healing over these men and women. In the mighty name of Jesus, we proclaim healing. We proclaim healing and freedom over your bodies in Jesus' mighty name.